Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome. Welcome to those that I can physically see in front of me and those that I can't because you're on Zoom and I can't see who's there. It is good to be together, whether in person or on Zoom online. It's good to come together to worship God, to hear from God, and to give him our praises. Abby, you have a notice for us, don't you?
So we have another worship night coming up, which is exciting, and it will be in May. I'm just going to look at my phone to confirm the date, because I think it's the 11th of May. Let me just double check. Yes, so Saturday the 11th of May will be the date for our next worship night. So it's just an evening where we are in the lounge, and as a body we can come together and just thank God for his goodness, for his greatness, for his love and kindness, and just worship him. It tends to be a bit of a mix of not just music, but there is, there is instruments along with the music if you want to do that, and there is creative sort of parts. So you can do painting or just express yourself in that way. We have a kind of smaller devotional corner if you just want to come and be more reflective and not necessarily be singing songs. So yeah, the 11th of May will be our next worship night in the lounge. I don't have any posters yet because I haven't actually got around to making them yet. But once I make them, there'll be sort of stuff around the church and I'll leave them by the front. So yeah, everyone is welcome to join. If you want to get involved, if you want to maybe just sing a song or want to kind of lead any part of it, just let me know and I'm happy for people to join in and contribute in the way that it is their heart's desire to contribute. And yeah, so I think that's it. Thanks.
Thank you, Abby.
It will be 7 p.m. Yeah, 7 p.m. 11.
Thank you. Let me pray as we before we go into worship. Father God, we thank you that you are here with us. Lord Jesus, thank you that as we commemorated last week, you are our risen Lord. We thank you that you are here. Thank you that we can come together to bring you our praises. Holy Spirit, would you draw from us the praises that our God deserves? We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. And so if you can, let's stand and sing. I'll hand over to Abby, who's going to lead us in worship now.
Dark, the together wonderful to me.
Jesus, we thank you for all that your name means to us. Thank you that it is a powerful name. Thank you that it's the only name by which men can be saved. And thank you, Jesus, that you are with us here this morning. Amen. Amen. So, how many of you, I want, have experienced a disappointment in your life? Anybody experienced a disappointment? I can see quite a few hands going up, right? So would anybody like to say what to give out or tell us one of their disappointments? Sally? Not being able to speak at Easter. Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. What does Jeff say? Was it a disappointment to him? Sorry, Sally. Sorry. Yeah, that is a disappointment. Yeah. How about anybody at the back there? Our usual volunteers, would you like to tell us anything? Yes. Not being able to speak at church one Christmas.
I was allowed to speak. I just had to speak at home.
Oh, do you mean when we were in lockdown and we had to do it? Yes, yeah. It was a great disappointment that we couldn't all get together, wasn't it? Anybody else? And there's all sorts of things that can disappoint us. I mean, maybe you didn't get the part that you hoped for in the school play. Or maybe a friend didn't invite you to their birthday party. Maybe you didn't get the job that you applied for. Maybe the holiday that you were dreaming of was cancelled because of airline strikes. Maybe the house that you desperately wanted to buy, maybe that purchase fell through for some reason. There's all sorts of reasons why we can be disappointed. And we can feel really fed up, can't we? Really, really upset, really sad. About whatever it is that's happened to or hasn't happened. So, if we were to think about what that looked like pictorially, it might feel like this, might feel very dark because we've been disappointed. We all have to cope with disappointments at one time or another, don't we? Now, I understand that a bit later, Emerge are going to be hearing about two people who were very, very disappointed. And those were two of Jesus's disciples who were on the road to Emmaus. They were disappointed, weren't they? Because they'd been in Jerusalem and they'd seen the terrible things that had happened, culminating in the crucifixion of Jesus. They were disappointed because they thought that Jesus was going to come and save the Jewish people from the Romans. So, yeah, a picture like that might well have expressed how they felt. But as they were walking along, unknown to them, Jesus came and joined them. And they didn't recognize him. But that's true for us as well. In our disappointment, in our grief, in our hurts, Jesus walks alongside us. And we may not realize that he's there, but he is. We can trust that he is there. And that can bring us great comfort. And of course, as Jesus walked with them, he explained lots of things to them, and they began to understand the big picture. They began to understand why the things that had happened, that it was part of God's plan. And they understood. And we can do that too when we're disappointed. We can turn to God and we can ask him to show us the big picture. And when we do that, he brings us hope. Hope out of that disappointing, painful situation. Now, if we were to think of what hope might look like in a picture, it might look like this. Okay, beautiful garden, look at all those bright colours. It's, much more cheerful, much more hopeful. And that's what Jesus can do for us. But I wonder, can you see the sunflowers on the right-hand side of the picture with the dark centre? Well, if I can tell you that the first picture that I showed actually was a close-up of that dark center of the sunflower. And when you look at the big picture, you can see that the disappointment, if you like, is only a tiny part of that whole picture. And it's not the most important part. But also when you think about it, if you think about that center of the sunflower, that's where the seeds are going to come from. That's going to bring food and the promise of new flowers, new sunflowers in the future. And God can do that with our hope or with our disappointment. He can turn it into hope. He can bring something good out of it. So when we are disappointed, when we are saddened by things that are going on, remember that Jesus walks with us in that disappointment. And God will show us the bigger picture. And actually, our disappointment is only a tiny part of the bigger picture, and it may be something that good will come out of. And I'd just like to finish by reading you a few verses. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And Isaiah 49, verse 23, those who hope in me will not be disappointed. Oh, thank you. Now let me just pray. Well, could we take up the offering? Father God, we thank you for those promises from your word. We thank you for the hope that we have in you. And it's not the use of the word that as the world uses it, it's a certainty, Lord. And we just thank you. And we thank you for all that you give us. And we ask that you would bless this portion that we give back to you. We acknowledge that everything that we have comes from you. We acknowledge we deserve nothing from you, but you pour out so many blessings on us. And we ask that you would help us to use these funds wisely, Lord, to further your kingdom. And as the young people go out to their groups now, Lord, we pray for them. We pray that they will go and learn more about you this morning, as even as we do here in the main body, the main sanctuary. Lord, we thank you for them. We thank you for their teachers, their helpers, and we ask for a blessing on what they're doing here this morning, and also a blessing on us in here. Amen. So just hope I haven't ruined what you're doing about the road to Emmaus. And yeah, so we're going to continue in worship now. Abby.
Lurking in the sky, whoever could deny your glory? Gazing into space, how small the human race appears. Amazing. high and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. Age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. He's the name above all names. He is worthy of all praise.
As you feel led, speak out words of praise and love and adoration, telling our God that we recognize how great he is.
Lord, I just thank you. As Alison said, we see but the little part of the picture.
People brought their sick and injured to the marketplaces, and as many as even touched the garments of Jesus were healed of their afflictions. Many who experienced these wonders believed, but others demanded a special sign to satisfy their curiosity. Jesus responded, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe, and no sign will be given." All the believers attended the temple daily, praising God for what they experienced, and they received the favor. Many more were added to their number across the land. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Amen.
Lord, I thank you that we only see the small picture, but you see the bigger picture, Lord. And those times, like Alison was saying, we see the darkness of disappointment, but you see the beauty, the bigger picture, the whole sunflower, Lord. And help us, Lord, in those times to see more of the sunflower, Lord, not just the centre. Amen.
Father God, we thank you for bringing what I trust in you. We are not disappointed.
God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before him. And our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before him.
Lord, you are the light that stepped down out of the darkness. And our hearts just are so overwhelmed with gratitude that you can turn our darkness into light. That every time we are overwhelmed by circumstances or situations and the world seems dark and gloomy, we turn our eyes to you. We fix our eyes upon you. Jesus, the light of the world.
Amen. Lord, we thank you that you have shown us the big picture. Thank you that you have revealed to us to so many mysteries. The whole idea that God should die in place of each one of us, it just doesn't seem to make any sense. And humanly speaking, it doesn't. But you did it, and you did it for us. And we just thank you so much for that. You are an amazing God. And we thank you for your love for each one of us. We sang in one of those songs, knowing the extent of all my sin, however it could be that you delight in me, and yet you do. Because you have dealt with our sin. Jesus, you dealt with it on the cross. And thank you seems so inadequate. And that verse from Jeremiah goes on to say, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. And I just pray that you will enable each one of us each day to seek you with all of your heart, and you promise that you will that we will find you. You are there for each one of us. What an amazing God you are. Amen. Thank you. I hope I'm not springing it on him, but Joshua, I believe you've got something you want to come and share with us. Is that right? Yes, do come up then.
Hi everyone. I believe disappointment is part of blessing. And I also believe in life it's good for one to fail, because that leads to success. I've not come here this morning to preach, and I've not come here this morning to brainwash anyone, But I would like to start by extending my profound gratitude to the body of Christ. I remember when I first came, I think in September, it was very difficult, to be sincere. Coming all the way from South Africa to the UK as a teacher, it's something I never thought it's going to turn out this way. But I thank God this morning, I'm still standing, smiling and excited, all because of the glory of God and the support I've received from the body of Christ. Your prayer, emotional support, even your advice has gone a long way to strengthen my faith in Christ. I think a few Sundays ago, after the church, I was called by Mike. Then he said something to me about preaching the gospel, evangelizing. Then I told him, no, that's a confirmation, because I remember 2 decades ago, like 23, 24 years ago, I used to be like obsessed with evangelism. I normally leave my school going around in my country. Originally, I'm from Nigeria. So I used to leave my university, then go to the northern part of the country, preaching the gospel. I rather, you know, give everything I have, my pocket money, just to do the work of God. As time goes by, responsibility came in. I got married. I have kids. I stopped all those things because I have to first cater for my kids. So I neglected that. And I believe everyone has a calling. Everyone has their mandate. Go ye there and preach the gospel. But I decided now I need to first focus on my kids because I believe they are the future of tomorrow. Then I migrated to South Africa. So when I got there, I managed to have few opportunities, because in Africa you could always do things. You can preach anywhere, in the park, at the station, in the train, public transport. So it became a norm. I resumed again my duty. I was doing that. Then the church I was attending, Methodist. Glory to God. So when I got there, we normally meet every Friday, every Saturday for evangelism. We go to the corners, the street, the shopping complex. Everything became nice. I thank God. They're moving to the UK. That's another story to tell. Everything was so strict that you couldn't even stand at the park or in the train and share the word of God. I was told that it's a crime. You might be prosecuted. I was confined. Then how do I do the work of God? So I carried on with my teaching. But lo and behold, some students approached me. With me, I'm ever smiling, irrespective of the challenges, because I believe God is in control. So I used to go to school with my Bible, and my Bible looks like a novel. So I normally put it on my desk. So one day, some student approached me, said, can we read your novel? I said, yeah, take it. Then they took it, they opened to the book of Romans. Wow. And then they flipped through, they opened to the book of John 3:16. Then I said, wow. So are you enjoying the book? They said, it's not the book, it's the Bible. I said, yes, that is my book. That is my daily bread. That thing you ask me, why do you always smile? The secret is in that book. Thereafter, they began to call their friends. During my break time, I began to spend my break time with them. I had the opportunity now to penetrate to their heart, to share the word of God with them, which I believe it might be illegal to some extent, but they came to me. I didn't go to them. So I saw that as an opportunity to preach the gospel to them. And two of them happens to be a member of, you know, they call them cartel, the gang, in year 10. Then I told them, this is an opportunity for you to leave behind your old life. Even though you might be a Muslim, you might be having parents who will not even allow you to be a convert, but there's a way of doing it. Let's play the game. So I started sharing the word of God with them. They preferred to spend their break with me. Even during Ramadan, they still come. They said they want prayer, even though they've had their, I don't know what they call it, in the morning. But they come to me during break time, say, we want to pray with you. But you're a Muslim. Yes, we want to really learn about Christ. So I'm here this morning to encourage each and everyone, be the youth, the old, and whoever, there is always an opportunity. When we seem, there's no opportunity. Because God has made everything perfect And there's a reason for everything. Like I'm standing here as should be in South Africa, but due to, you know, unforeseen circumstances, here I am, still smiling anyway, it's okay. So I'm standing here this morning to encourage each and everyone that God is alive. We have the mandate. Let's preach the gospel in every way. It's not really necessary by preaching or by shouting. We can use our materials, our belongings, our passion, our personality to preach the gospel. Let people see around us who we serve, so that when we see that, no, we are getting there by penetrating into the heart of these younger ones, because they are the future of every nation, not only this country. But in a nutshell, the youth of this country needs to be helped and advised so that we will not have a challenge at the nearest future. So I want to use that as an opportunity to stand before the people of God that God is great, God is good, and is doing amazing work in my life, not because I'm boastful of that, but it's because of the spiritual support, emotional support, and the physical support I've received, either from the church, back from home, and from the spiritual realm, because I believe God is able. Amen.
Wow, what a powerful testimony. Yeah, can we just pray for you? Lord God, we just thank you for that amazing testimony from Joshua. Thank you for the ways that you've used him over so many, many years as an evangelism. Thank you for this opportunity that you gave him in school, that these young students approached him and wanted to know more. Lord, we ask for your anointing on them. We ask that you would bring to fruition the seed that's been sown in them. And it sounds as though it could be difficult for them because they're from a different religious background. We ask, Lord, for your protection around them. We ask that what they're hearing will become real in their hearts. And we ask for your blessing too on Joshua, Lord, that you will keep on giving him opportunities to preach your word and to be an example. And thank you for the challenge that he throws out to each one of us. Amen. The passage that Tony's going to speak from is Acts chapter 5, verses 12 to 16. The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats, so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and all of them were healed. Lord, we thank you for your word. We ask that you would open our ears, open our hearts, open our minds as we hear from you this morning. And we ask for your blessing on Tony as he comes to share what you've given him in preparation. Lord, may we all be blessed by what he's going to share with us this morning. Amen.
Good morning. Joshua, that was fine. That's point one of my sermon done. So we can all be encouraged. Before I launch into this passage, I just want to share some testimony. Some of you will know the full story. Some of you will only know half the story. Of my experiences for the last week and a half. I wasn't here on Good Friday. I would normally be here on Good Friday, but I wasn't here because Good Friday was the 29th of March, And that was 1 year since my wife suddenly died. And when she died, we decided as a family that we'd have we'd lease a rose in the Garden of Remembrance with a plaque to her, and we'd have her name and details written in the remembrance books at the crematorium. So I went on Friday to the crematorium, and as I'm driving down Woodham Lane, just past where Alison lives, a pigeon took off and hit the corner of my car, but I did see it fly away. And I thought, why today did I nearly kill a pigeon? And I thought, what else can go wrong? And it jumped into my mind, it won't be in the book. And I got to the creme and went to the Book of Remembrance, and there's four books. I looked at the first book, not there. I looked at the second book, not there. I looked at the third book, not there. I looked at the fourth book, not there. Floods of tears. I was absolutely distraught. And knowing that there was no one at the creme until Tuesday, there's nothing I could do about it. I phoned my daughter and told her, and she said, well, she'd come. She was going to come anyway, but she would check, make sure I didn't miss it. But I knew I hadn't missed it. So I was distraught. Before going, I'd finished the sermon and just then had, what's the application for the sermon? So it was already difficult with this passage. I don't know when, as you heard it being read, whether you thought, oh, that's a nice, easy one. I found it difficult. And now I'm in this position where I'm absolutely distraught. So I got home, I sent an email to the creme. I was very polite. I didn't feel polite, but I was very polite. But I was thinking, was it me? Was it me? Did I give them the wrong date? Did I say put it in on her birthday? Did I say put it on the day of the funeral? And all sorts of things went through my mind. They sent me an email on Tuesday morning to say it was their fault. They had not given the details to the person updating the book. They'd also not checked when the books came back that all the entries were made. It was their fault. They apologised, and they offered to extend the memorial on the rose, the lease on the rose, by 5 years. So that was a nice gesture. I didn't ask for compensation. For half an hour, I could not stop crying. I think it was the stress and the emotion that just let go. And then thinking about, well, I've got to do Saturday seniors, and then I've got to do Sunday, and I'm not really in the right place for all of this. But I sat down, I did the application, and then I did the application for this sermon, and really felt I'm way outside my comfort zone now. And I'm not feeling too good. I'm not in the right place, and now all this. God is amazing. Because I woke up Thursday morning with a song on my heart. And the song was, Before the Throne of God Above, I Have a Strong and Perfect Plea. It was the second verse that I was struggling with. I couldn't remember the last line. I could remember half the last line, which said, and pardon me. But I couldn't get the first bit. Was it, Jesus is guilty, but he pardoned me, and I could not get it? And I was swimming on Thursday, so I get up, shower, everything, get ready to go swimming. Didn't have time to go on the internet. Got in my car in the garage. As I was reversing the car out of the garage, I have Premier Praise on. Soon as it came on, look on him, and pardon me. And it repeats it, look on him and pardon me. I was just amazed that in the position I was, God put that song on Premier Praise at the time I was reversing the car out the garage. What an amazing God we have. So it is still with fear and trembling I look at this passage, and but with a confidence that God knows what he's doing and is in control. So Acts 5, verses 12 to 16, I've entitled it The Power of God Displayed in Signs and Wonders. And as we've journeyed through Acts over the last few weeks, we've seen the power of God at work through his people. Not just as people, but people filled with the Holy Spirit. So God is working through his people who are filled with the Holy Spirit. And in this passage, yet again, we see the power of God at work through the apostles. And here they were at Solomon's colonnade. They were meeting together, they were sharing the gospel, they were proclaiming all they could about Jesus Christ, as well as healing the sick. Now, I went on the internet, as you do, and this is Solomon's colonnade. But in different parts of the Bible, it calls it a porch, calls it a portico, but it's Solomon's colonnade in this passage. And it's located at the eastern side of the temple's outer court in Jerusalem. And so it was a place that lots of people congregated. And of course, because it's Solomon's, it's named after King Solomon. But this covered area became a significant gathering place for the people in Jerusalem. It became a gathering place for the apostles and the Christians that were there at that time, where they could spread the good news. It also was a place of where intellectual people could come and have discussions. So you get the Christians doing the gospel, and this is the good news of Jesus Christ, and you get intellectual people, the theory of life and what's happening. All sorts of difference, the whole spectrum of people coming together to share what they think they want to discuss and what they want other people to know. So it's not surprising then that Christians were there in that place, because it's a place where the people were and they wanted to be there and they wanted to share the good news of Jesus Christ. So it was natural for them to be there. And yet, while they were there, we read in this passage that people stood back from the outside. They didn't want to get too close. I'm sure they were aware of all the things that were happening at that time. You know, the threats of the religious people, the persecution of the Christians. You know, they may be nice people and good people and they're doing lots of nice things, but I don't want to get too close. I'm happy to look on, but I don't want to be part of the team. This is just not where I am. So they choose to stay away. They choose to stay away from where the action was actually taking place. And the same can be said for a lot of people today. They hear the good news of Jesus Christ and they think, well, if I commit to Jesus Christ, it's going to spoil my life. You know, the world has got so much to offer me. It's going to spoil it if I give my life to Christ. It's the opposite. Christ has more than this world can ever offer. The world has nothing. You know, it's a pale shadow, insignificant of what God can do. And yet people decide that the world is better than Jesus Christ. So it's not a surprise that people were not wanting to get too close. Not wanting to get too close. So they stayed on the outside and didn't want to come in. They didn't want to believe because either their life would change or they get arrested or they get thrown in prison or their life wouldn't, you know, be the same. So I'm quite comfortable with where I am and that's good enough for me. They're actually saying that they see no worth in Jesus Christ. They see more worth in the world than they do in Jesus Christ. They admired the apostles from a distance. They admired the Christians from a distance, but that was as close as they were going to get to them. In other words, so close and yet so far. Two things from this passage: the power of God for spiritual healing and the power of God for physical healing. So first of all then, the power of God for spiritual healing. Paul, in his letter to the church at Rome, says this in Romans 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentiles. So Paul is saying that the gospel is the only message that the world needs. The only message that can powerfully save people from their sin is Jesus Christ. And we shouldn't be ashamed to spread the good news of Jesus, spread the gospel, as Joshua so wonderfully shared with us earlier. And if we read verse 12, we read that the apostles met together regularly at Solomon's colonnade. That was, as I've already said, was the place where people were. They went out to where the people were. But people also came to them, because they could have gone elsewhere, but they came to them to see what was going on. And they were not ashamed of the gospel. The apostles were not ashamed of the gospel and preached it with power through the power of the Holy Spirit. They weren't afraid of the authorities who were there watching them, the religious rulers. Regardless of they could have been arrested at any moment, it didn't matter. What was important to them was sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, we can't do that in our own power. They can't do it in their power. They need the power of the Holy Spirit in order to speak through them and touch the lives of everyone they came into contact with. And that was people on the inside as well as those standing on the outside who thought they didn't want to get too close because they're still hearing the message. And they would have been affected by what was happening. So the Holy Spirit gave them the power and the boldness to witness for Jesus Christ. We have that same power within us to proclaim and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We all have a role to play in making disciples of all nations. Now we have Mark as the outreach evangelist, so therefore we can leave it to Mark. That's his job. He can just get on with it. No, we all have the same commission to go make disciples of all nations. That means my family, your family. It means my neighbours, your friends, work colleagues, those you come into contact with. We have a responsibility to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And these were ordinary men and ordinary women who were Christians, but filled with the Spirit, they were different. They had all the power and authority of God behind them and in them to share the good news. You see, they feared God more than they feared man. Those on the outside feared man more than they feared God. They got it the wrong way round. We know that. They don't know that, and they won't know that until we tell them. So we need to be out there telling them. And I included verse 13, Acts 5:13. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. I like that bit. They're highly regarded by the people, but I don't want to get too close. Doesn't make sense. But it got me thinking about Heathervale Baptist Church in the middle of Newhall. How are we regarded by the community? We are very highly regarded by the community, by what we do and by what we say. I don't know how many people live in Newhall, but they're not here, are they? They're on the outside. They think we're nice people. And we are nice people, aren't we? We are nice people. They think we're nice. We have nice coffee and we have nice biscuits. And we have Saturday seniors and we have Who Let the Dads Out and we have Kingdom Tots and we have Let's Do Lunch and we have all these things emerge. I'm going to miss somebody, aren't I? That go on, which draw people into this place. So we are highly regarded by people outside, but they don't want to get too close. They don't want to catch this religious bug that's going on. But we do a lot of things to draw the community into this place. And we have, on a weekly basis, children and adults, hundreds, that come onto these premises. In all the groups, we share the gospel. That's our job. We share the gospel. We shared the gospel at seniors yesterday. It's up to the Holy Spirit to take what has been said, to plant it and to make it grow. Our job is to speak and let the Holy Spirit do the rest. But I still am amazed with all the things that go on, that they're still happy standing on the outside. They don't want to take part in all that God has to offer. They're happy to take part in the activities, and we had some really nice cake yesterday. So if you weren't there, you missed it. It was lovely cake. But they all went away happy. This is a lovely place to come. We really enjoyed it this morning. Nobody said to me, I made a commitment to Christ as they went out the door. They told us how nice we were, how much they enjoyed it. We only do it because we want to see them changed from where they are to where Jesus is. I'm glad they come because it gives us that opportunity to present the gospel. And we are doing a lot of good things in our community where we do proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. We have the power in us through the Holy Spirit to do what the apostles were doing. And despite these people being on the outside, we're told they were adding, the numbers were being added almost daily, those that were being saved. God is doing some amazing things and will do amazing things if we just go do it. Secondly, the power of God for physical healing. Now, those even on the outside of Solomon's colonnade and looking in at what was going on, they could not have failed to see that people were getting healed, that the apostles in the name of Jesus were healing people. And if something good is going on, it will draw a crowd, won't it? It will draw a crowd. And can you just imagine the faith of the people, even if they were on the outside, were bringing those that were sick, laying them in the street, so that at least if Peter's shadow passed over them, they would get healed. I mean, that is faith, isn't it? That is faith. So even those on the outside, you know, still had some faith that, God was doing some good things, because the apostles kept saying, we do this in the name of Jesus Christ. Not in my strength, not in any of our strength, but in the name of Jesus Christ. It seems that the consensus of the people that were around about was that Peter was doing some good things. And he was saying some good things. But that's as far as they wanted to go. They wanted the healing, the physical healing, but not the spiritual healing. Unfortunately for them, of course, you get two for one. Because I can't believe if somebody was healed through the power of God, that they didn't get also a spiritual healing. That God is doing this, therefore God must be real. Jesus must have done what these people say that he did. So the word spread that these apostles were doing some good things, and people came from all over the place and they were healed. It's not surprising, because in Solomon's colonnade is where Jesus taught people, where Jesus healed people. So if Jesus was there, the apostles were there, the Christians were there, because the people were there. And they wanted a spiritual healing as well as a physical healing. And in Acts 5, verse 14, you know, despite them being on the outside, it says, nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. So we can read between the lines that even those that were being healed became Christians. Those on the outside were being touched by the power of the Spirit for their lives to be changed, physically and spiritually. Signs and wonders were bringing people to the apostles. Signs and wonders brought people to Jesus, where he could then share the good news of salvation to anyone who was willing to listen, and probably some that weren't willing to listen but still heard it anyway. Peter and John got the city's attention when they healed a lame man in this same place. As Peter and John went to pray, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. So people would have seen what was going on and knew the power of God was at work in these people. People knew in general that miracles, signs and wonders were only possible through God, because humanly we can't do any of it. So they would have known there's something special about these people, because they're doing things that no one else can do. And that's not to decry our NHS or anything else, because they are great at bringing healing. But God can do it all. Where the NHS stops, God starts. Can do more than we can ask or even imagine. But Peter and the apostles always attributed what they were doing to the power of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, be healed, or whatever they needed to say. But what was happening was that, in a way, the most important thing was that signs and wonders were drawing people in. I long to see signs and wonders in this church. That God to move in power in this church and will draw people through those doors. And Paul tells us, by all means, save some. And so if people are getting healed in this place, people are changing their lives in this place, good news will spread and people will come to see what's happening. Then we have an opportunity to speak the good news of Jesus Christ. The early church prayed in Acts 4, 39 to 30. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Is that our prayer every morning when we wake up? I don't mind about the threats that people make, because we live in a world that the worst thing people can say at the moment is no. If we invite them to church, the worst thing they can say is no. If we invite them to seniors, coffee shop, whatever we do, the worst they can do is to say no. Can't hurt us, can't threaten us. Well, they might, don't ever speak to me again. But we have a golden opportunity. So as a church, we should be praying that God would stretch out his hand in signs and wonders in this place, that he might bring people here to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. See, we can keep putting on activities and we can keep drawing people in. And that's good. You know, there's a lot of people, even in this church, that are products of the Boys Brigade. I'm a product of the Boys Brigade, more from Woking Baptist than Boys Brigade, but there's a lot of people who heard the good news because they attended Boys Brigade. It was something good to go to. You did lots of nice activities, including camps and whatever, but you hear the gospel and you respond. So that's that passage. So what's the application for us today? And this is where I step way outside my comfort zone, because I'm very happy for Martin to stand up here and call people forward. I'm not quite like Martin. But two things then. So, power of God for spiritual healing. It could be today that there are people here who are quite happy standing on the outside. That we're a nice people. We're nice and friendly. We have nice coffee and biscuits next door in a minute. It's a nice place to come. But actually, I like being on the outside. Maybe the Spirit is moving this morning to say you need to step over the threshold and to join the team. God is calling you to give your life to him. It may be that you're standing, you are a Christian already, but you're standing a little bit further back than wanting to get fully involved because you haven't been baptized yet. Maybe today God is calling you to be baptized, to take that extra step, to get, I'll use the word immersed, get more immersed in the life of the church by being baptized. But it may be that you're a Christian and you've been baptized, but you're not a member. We are friendly, we are nice. Whether member or non-member, we're a nice family. But how much greater is it to be a part of the family, a member of this church? So maybe God is calling you to be a member of this church. And in the prayer that was prayed by the apostles, you know, give us boldness to speak your word. Maybe it is you want more boldness this morning to spread the good news of Jesus Christ to your family, your work colleagues, your neighbours, whatever. The Holy Spirit will give you that this morning. That's the desire of your heart. Then respond to him this morning and he will give you that power and that boldness to speak for him. So now I get even further outside my comfort zone, the power of God for physical healing. You see, you can't preach on this passage and then say, we'll sing the last song and go home. I'd like to, but you can't, because the Bible is real. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If the apostles were praying for people to be healed, then that same God is here through the power of his Spirit this morning. So is that what God is asking you to respond to this morning? Is there something that you're being stirred now, that God wants to heal you? People are being healed in the name of Jesus. And that's what we need to do this morning. For God to stretch out his hand with signs and wonders. I mean, the biggest sign and wonder is for someone to give their life to Christ. But another sign and wonder is for someone to be healed. And we all have needs. But is God touching you this morning to say, I want to do something special in your life. I want to bring healing to you. So we're going to wait on God. Can I ask that we just, in an attitude of prayer, just wait on God. And just ask him and the Spirit to come and to speak into our hearts, into our minds. What is the Spirit challenging me? What's the Spirit challenging you about this morning? Is it to become a Christian? Is it to be baptized? Is it to be a member? Or is it for a physical healing? We can ask God for words of knowledge, for pictures. And if it is, you're sitting there and you suddenly get a pain somewhere that you haven't had, it may be that God is saying someone has a pain in that area. And I want to touch it this morning. Holy Spirit, will you just come and fill this place this morning? Will you speak into our hearts and our minds? We want to respond to your word this morning. And we thank you, Jesus, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you delight to do good things within your family and with your children. So Lord, we ask that you will fall upon us now, that we might respond to you this morning. We will sing the last song, and I'm going to ask, because I know it's hard, to be the first person to get up out of your seat and to come to the front. I know that. So I'm going to ask for some of the prayer team to come out first. so that then people are not on their own, who want to come out and respond to what God has been saying to them. If it is that you've got a word of knowledge or you've got something that you want to share, then please come and share it, that we might all be blessed this morning by moving in the power of the Spirit. So let's sing, and if God is touching you, then please come out. The prayer team will come out first as we sing, and then you come out, and we only do too pleased to pray for you and with you.
Lord, we thank you for that unending love, that amazing grace that has set us free. Thank you, Lord, that you want to bring physical healing, you want to bring spiritual healing, you want to bring people into your family. Lord, you know what each one of us needs. You know the desires of our hearts. Lord, I just pray that we will turn to you, because you've told us to bring our prayers and our requests before you. Whatever it is, Lord, whether it is physical healing, spiritual healing, whether it is being spoken to about baptism, about membership, about coming into your kingdom, whether it's about boldness, Lord, you know our needs. You will meet our needs. We just thank you for that. We pray for your blessing on each one of us as we go out into whatever we have to face this week, whatever situation we find ourselves in, may we take you with us. You just long to be with us. You are with us, but sometimes we shut you out. May we not do that this week. May we just cling to you. May we turn to you. May we hear from you, and may we obey you. In Jesus' name, amen.